Ian Jessup Show.
You've heard many times in this program how successful the government of Norway has been in extracting a fair royalty for its oil reserves. So successful, in fact, that it has the largest sovereign fund in the world. In British Columbia, we're practically giving away our natural resources, particularly natural gas. Joining us to talk about several provincial issues is our regular monthly guest, Norm Farrell, who has the blog Northern Insight. Norm, good to talk to you again.
Hi, Ian. It's nice to be back.
In the last election, Premier Christy Clark promised a $100 billion prosperity fund based on sales of liquefied natural gas. To date, we don't have a penny in any prosperity fund. Tell us what we're selling our natural gas for.
It actually went even further than that. In one of the press releases government put out, they said that the government revenues over 30 years would be between $100 and $260 billion. And at that upper figure, had that been true, the portion of the 30 years that's passed now would have seen well over $20 billion in Treasury. But of course, there's nothing in Treasury from that. And unfortunately, there's not likely to be much in Treasury in the future, partly because the government is preparing legislation right now to lock in the royalty rates at what we assume will be rather low levels. And they're doing that at a time when our neighbor in Alberta, under the new government there, has decided that they're going to have a fresh look at the royalty rates and the share of revenues being earned by the public.
Now, I know what's going to happen. Sorry to interrupt, Norm, but what's going to happen in Alberta is that the oil and gas companies will complain and say they'll be leaving the province. But exactly the same thing happened in Norway, and none of them left.
That's true. And, you know, British Columbia has, over the last decade, has been reducing its royalties on natural gas production. It's been increasing, or it established lower rates for what they called marginal and ultra-marginal natural gas wells. It gave credits for deep gas exploration, summer drilling, road building, and various infrastructure development. So we've been getting less and less out of natural gas in the last, say, the last 5 years than we ever had in the preceding 15 years. And right now, I think that British Columbia ought to be cooperating with Alberta and Saskatchewan to find ways of increasing the public share of petroleum resources. But our government in BC is going in the opposite direction. They're trying to, through legislation, to lock in low rates for the next 30 years or so.
Well, it was interesting to read that at one point the BC government was proposing a 7% royalty on natural gas, and even at 7%, I thought that was extremely low.
But that was a special tax for the LNG. They were trying that by allowing the LNG projects to go forward through a 7% tax on the LNG produced, that there would be a bounty of cash available to the province, and they have already dropped that from 7 to 3.5%. But it's more complicated than that, because the companies will be allowed to write off and recover all of their capital costs before that tax rate kicks in. And in addition to that, they will be given a tax credit for any LNG tax they pay will apply against income tax. And this is not just a write-off like depreciation. It's an actual tax credit. So if they pay $100 million in LNG tax, they will get $100 million tax credit on income tax. And so the likelihood of British Columbia ever establishing a substantial flow flow of funds out of the extraction of natural gas and the export of it by way of liquefaction is really remote.
Norm, as you were talking, I was just thinking, given the fact that Christy Clark in the last election promised this $100 to $260 billion prosperity fund, a debt-free BC, lower taxes, and better public services, and none of that has transpired, how do you think she's going to defend that come 2017, in 2 years' time, with the election?
I think their intention is to get one or two projects up and not, they won't be running, but they will appear to be coming on stream, and they will claim that's evidence that their goal was correct, just their timing was changed by the international crash in energy prices. So I think they're already working on that element there. I'm convinced they're going to use the LNG strategy in the 2017 election.
I have an email here from Rob who says, can you say how much the BC government left on the table? You quoted a government claim of up to $200 million over 20 to 30 years. How much could potentially be made?
That's not clear. We don't know exactly how the negotiations have gone. We do know that the government tends to be very interested in cooperating with the industry. We'll have a situation where the Albertans are making an effort to maximize public revenues, while at the same time BC is making an effort to minimize the public revenues. Now, how much is going to be on the table is really unpredictable because the market situation is unclear. As we know, the Asian demand for natural gas a few years ago drove up high prices, and so the LNG prospects look to be a little bit better than they do today. Now we're at relatively low prices compared to a few years ago in the value of LNG, and we've got all kinds of other things happening in the energy sector as well. I think the recent decision to try and move away from fossil fuels by just about all nations in the world, excepting perhaps Canada and Japan, that's an example of the kinds of changes that are going to be demanded over the next 10 to 20 years.
Norm, on your blog, you've written many times about the fact that under this current government, we're not getting the revenue from our natural resources that we did in the past. That includes under Gordon Campbell's government and also the NDP government and previous social credit governments. Why are we not getting the revenue from our natural resources when we're selling more natural resources? And I'm thinking of log exports and things like that.
I think it's a philosophical commitment that they have to privatization of resources. They don't believe that there should be public resources. If you look at, say, for example, one of the ADMs in Victoria responsible for natural gas development was formerly involved with the Fraser Institute and was also an editorial editor of the Vancouver Sun. He's written substantially about how government should not be involved in public assets. That I think this sort of libertarian viewpoint is that all of these things should be privatized and left to the private marketplace to develop and to earn the value from. So there's a fundamental, I think, philosophical aim to privatize public resources.
Hang on, Norm. We have to take a commercial break. Norm Farrell is our guest. He has the blog Northern Insight. Welcome back. Norm Farrell is our guest. He has the blog Northern Insight, and he's with us every month. Let's go to the phones and talk to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Yes, hi, good evening, afternoon, I guess.
You're getting ahead of yourself, Ron, come on.
Yeah, right, as usual. The old game of the BC Liberals and their corporate sponsors was always to say that oil and gas companies in BC would move to Alberta, where they would have amongst the lowest oil and gas royalties in the industrialized world, much lower than even the Republican state of Alaska, for example. Now that the Notley NDP government is indicating they will monitor oil and gas royalties worldwide and increase them accordingly, won't there have to be another excuse for our giveaways here in BC?
That's a good point. I think the oil industry in Alberta is preparing to argue that if they raise the rates in Alberta, they'll move to BC. So it's a little bit like the leapfrog game that professional sports operations do to convince one city to build a stadium worth $1 billion or $1.5 billion. And if they don't build the stadium for that professional sports organization, they'll pick up their balls and head off down the road to another city that will. And we have a perfect situation in Canada, in Western Canada, where the three premiers of Saskatchewan, Manitoba, or Alberta, and BC could get together and say, okay, let's have a strategy now to improve the public recovery and the public share of the resources. Now, nobody's suggesting they have to be as high as they are in Norway, because there are some other circumstances at play there. For example, Norway has a commitment to have their own state-owned oil company, and that's not on the table here. But nevertheless, we could have a strategy to vastly improve the public share of the natural resource revenues.
Anything else, Ron?
Well, I think it's time that we had this Western strategy, as it were, to the benefit of the people rather than the corporation. So I'm glad you've raised that as a hopeful possibility.
Well, I only see one potential player in that strategy, and that's Rachel Notley in Alberta.
Well,
unfortunately.
Well, John Horgan would certainly agree to that strategy.
If there's a change, that's true.
Well, Premier Horgan will support it, yep.
Hey, Ron, I'm absolutely shocked that you support the NDP.
And there's another thing in the news.
Thanks, Ron.
That there's a story in the news today about Victoria that probably is an example that is worth talking about. And it's the North Saanich's Viking Air is announced that they've done a deal that may see as many as 500 revised or twin otter airplanes being constructed. And that's potentially worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's a company that had to lay off workers just a short while ago in Victoria.
Yeah, that is a huge success story, that company.
The lesson, I think, though, that we need to learn is that we don't have to be simply curers of water and, curers of wood and drawers of water. We do have the ability to do innovative enterprises, and government can encourage that kind of thing. We don't have to simply take the wood or the gas and ship it overseas.
Yeah. And Dave Curtis is the head of Viking Air, and he's the son of former BC Finance Minister Hugh Curtis, who at one time was the mayor of Saanich. They used to call him Reeves at that time.
Right.
And a couple of months ago, they had to lay off workers, and now they go out and make a deal and will hire those workers back. Yeah, I think it's a huge success story that doesn't get, I guess, outside of the Victoria area, doesn't get that much coverage.
And then they're talking about the number of potential jobs that could be created is more than what an LNG would employ on a permanent basis, an LNG factory.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know why a lot of the provincial politicians just fall in love with these big mega projects and have to give away millions of dollars.
You know, that brings up another situation that Alberta is doing, is that Alberta has already announced that they're going to eliminate corporate and union donations to political parties. And, I think that's the fundamental aspect of improving the political situation in this in any province, that we have to take back the control of the legislature, give it to the people as opposed to the corporations that have the money.
Yeah. I think I go after the government a lot on this, not this particular issue, but on its policies. And people accuse me of being supportive of the NDP, but you and I have talked about this before, that if the NDP get in power, we'll do exactly the same thing. It has nothing to do with having an allegiance to a particular political party. It is giving a voice to the people.
Absolutely. I see myself not as a supporter of the NDP, but as a supporter of the public.
Yeah. Now, there was an oil spill, another oil spill in Vancouver on Sunday night, not as large as the one several weeks ago. And after being told BC would have world-class oil spill response, whatever that means, BC's environment minister said that the province is unprepared for a major oil spill. What do you make of her remarks?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had some kids at the Children's Festival, which was on Granville Island in the False Creek area just a short while ago, and I was amazed at just all of the activity, all of the people, the buses, the cars, the boats, the little ferries, and all of the activities that are going on was just immense. I mean, it's a place of absolute continuous activity. That's the spot where the oil spill occurred, and despite the fact that it's at the most accessible place in the whole entire Lower Mainland, it took hours before there was response to the spill. Now, I'm left thinking, what happens if there's a spill in a place that is not immediately accessible? And if, you know, the spill could be, if the plans go ahead for shipping numerous diluted bitumen tankers through Juan de Fuca Strait, if there's a collision because of the heavy marine traffic there, what kind of response are you going to get in a place that's not easily accessible? If you can't look after the small spills, then how are you ever going to look after the large ones?
Norm, I'm wondering if social media is starting to blow these things out of proportion. And the reason I ask is because Christy Clark's plan to have yoga on the Broad Street Bridge last Sunday ended up being canceled because social media got involved and started trashing the government. And but yet other issues that are important to the people of British Columbia don't get the social media attention that some of these things do.
Yeah, Martin Brown, who was involved in the Liberal government for years before Christy Clark arrived, Martin Brown wrote an article, it was in the Georgia Strait in the last few days, and he talked about that issue, that you get a terrific response to certain kinds of things, and in social media, but they tend to ignore the much larger things. Like we've talked about a lot of issues that, for example, when you're looking over time, you look at the amount of subsidy that the public has given to the natural resources industries. It's over $10 billion in recent years, and that gets very little traction. But
you said $10 billion with a B?
That's correct. If you look at the various different forms of subsidy that are given by way of things like the gas credit programs, the infrastructure programs, and so on, that and the ministry spending, you've got to remember the Natural Resources Ministry jumped suddenly under Christy Clark from spending $40 million a year to spending over $400 million. So in 5 years' time, that's $2 billion of ministry expenditures. And that's the level that they're projecting on their on their budget papers right now. So we're spending huge sums of money on, particularly in the gas industry, and that's despite the fact that it's a relatively small employer. There's only a few thousand people that work in natural gas in this province at this point. And even if we go ahead with the LNG projects, many of those workers will be brought in from overseas. And when the factories are become operational, operational. They do will not have large populations of employees.
Yeah. Norm, always good to talk to you. I appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.